the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Hear us who might deceive us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Tuesday afternoon, we are broadcasting from the Gottesdienst Conference at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. For the remainder of our conversation today, we're going to talk about who should preach and administer the sacraments in the church. Our guest, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's translator, author, and editor of numerous books, including The Church and the Office of the Ministry by C.F.W. Walther. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to see you, Todd.
Matt, our Lutheran confessions, in particular Article 14 of the Augsburg Confession, they call it ecclesiastical order. It's really the subject we're going to discuss today, who should preach and administer the sacraments. They say, of ecclesiastical order, they teach that no one should publicly teach in the church or administer the sacraments unless he be rightly called. How is it that in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have congregations that are in some cases ignoring or openly violating this very teaching of our confessions there in Article 14?
Well, Todd, it's a long journey. The ostensible reason is that there are certain cases where pastors could not be had or had adequately or easily enough. And so the Synod made accommodations, and I don't think we should blame individual congregations for this kind of thing. It was the Synod made a decision in 1989 in the Wichita Convention to make exceptions for what it called temporary and extraordinary circumstances. If you look at that convention resolution, it's from the workbook in 1989, the proceedings. It said that the title deacon be established by which a layman would be addressed while he is temporarily serving in word and sacrament ministry, quote, in exceptional circumstances or in emergencies. This title would distinguish him from an ordained pastor. Well, the fact is we've had now men serving for decades. We put out a video on this licensed lay deacon question. You can find it on the Synod's website. We interviewed a licensed lay deacon who has been serving in the role of pastor for 13 years. He said, you know, what really bothered him is he stands before his people and they call him pastor, but then he has to say, as a called and ordained service, a servant of the word, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's pretty simple for him, really. So I think we had a good intention. There were a number of men serving in these irregular situations. The Synod had a good intention to try to regularize them. And then what happened is the whole situation grew. Now, we have nine or 10 alternate routes to the ministry now. You don't just have to go to the seminary, but there's EEIT, there's recently the SMP, the Specific Ministry Pastor Program, where you go part-time to the seminary, and then you're actually ministering in a context over time. We didn't have that program in 1989. Now we have it. Many people thought that this SMP program would get us back to the Augsburg Confession and that we could get out of the licensed lay deacon business, licensed lay deacons as pastors. So that's how we got into it in the very short case.
So what's the big deal if laymen are publicly teaching and administering the sacraments?
Well, you have to ask what the Lord has given. The Lord has given us the church, wherever two or more gathered in his name. He's also told us in 1 Peter 2:9-10 that each Christian is a spiritual priest. They have the Holy Spirit, and they have this recognition of a sacred office they have. He's told us that when the church gathers, it has the office of the keys. It may, as church, forgive sins and retain sins. Matthew 18, tell it to the church. And then Jesus says you can retain sins or forgive sins. And it's just as valid in heaven also. That promise also goes to the apostle Peter in Matthew 16. It goes to the larger group of apostles in John chapter 20. And so you see the keys are given to the church, on the one hand, also to the apostles. What happened was the Lord gives also, in addition to apostles and the church, he gave pastors and preachers and teachers, they're called. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, when the Lord ascended, he gave gifts to men, some to be pastors and teachers, some to be evangelists, etc. And we know these terms are used kind of interchangeably in the New Testament. For instance, Acts chapter 20, Paul is giving his admonition to the Ephesian elders. And the elders are not what we have as elders in our churches, that is assistants, kind of a board with some authority to make sure the pastor does what's supposed to be done. These are pastors. And he says, be shepherds of the church of God, over which he, the Spirit, has made you overseers. And so here you have elders, overseer or bishop, shepherd, all used in the same lines for one office, for pastors. The issue is basically God has given us pastors to carry out the public functions of preaching. And these things, every lay person has the right and duty in their daily life to speak the gospel, to share it. You see that happening in, say, John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. She bore witness to the Samaritans, and many believed because of her testimony. That's what the text actually says. The guy, the Gadarene, who was in chains, and Paul looses him from his demon possession, and that guy goes out proclaiming Christ. If a lay person is at a situation, you can't, you know, a child's about to die in a hospital, that lay person should not stop. They should baptize a baby in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are those circumstances. But for the normal day-to-day running of the church and the life of the church, God has given us pastors, and pastors are accountable to people, and the people are accountable to the pastor for their life and doctrine. He is to be an overseer of that.
So in other words, we don't view the pastor or the office that he occupies as just kind of something we've contrived because it's convenient, something that we come up with because it's a good way of organizing ourselves. We view it first and foremost as a gift that Christ himself has given to the church.
Absolutely. And you see this working out. The Lutheran Confessions, the treatise on the power and primacy of the Pope, paragraph 10 on the German side, says that the office, the preaching office, stems from the general call of the apostles. The apostles led the way. Jesus installed them, made them preachers, sent them out to apostello, is to send with a commission. The apostles then grab hold of the next generation. They grab hold of them and send them out. You got Timothy and Titus, and then Paul sends them out to appoint the rest, appoint elders, appoint bishops, etc., in Crete and other local congregations. So this office of the ministry is always there. A lot of people say, well, you know, it's the only thing that matters in the church then, you know, the office of ministry is, you know, the pastor's to be herr pastor. Not at all. The pastor does one thing. He proclaims the word of God publicly and administers the sacraments. The lay people in the church keep everything running. They participate in evangelism and outreach in every way possible. You know, there's nothing to keep a lay person from starting a congregation. If a layman goes to a foreign situation someplace and has to stand up and start telling people about Jesus and gathering people together, that's perfectly all right. At some point, when it becomes a church, they need to call a regular pastor. But we have freedom. We have immense freedom. But so long as we recognize the Lord has given us pastors and people, and that's his paradigm. It's his. It's not ours, and we shouldn't monkey with it.
So there are really two problems here. One is kind of a theological problem, and that is that in our practice we have, in these cases where licensed lay deacons have been preaching and administering the sacraments, we have not followed through with these men to say, look, if this is no longer an emergency, and you desire the office, you desire a good thing. So let's finish the job with you. Then there's the pragmatic problem that we've allowed what was at first an emergency, or what was the language, unique circumstances or something?
Exceptional
like
circumstances.
Exceptional circumstances to become an ongoing thing or the norm.
Yes, we have. Yeah.
What's the path back here? This isn't the first time that the Missouri Synod has kind of disregarded what it confesses and done something different. What's the path back here with a minute or so before we take our break?
Oh, it's always repentance. I think as a church body, we simply need to recognize the Augsburg Confession and act according to it, being convinced that it accords with the Word of God. Our authorities call us to this. By the same token, you know, we've got all these good guys. They love the Bible. They love their people. They're called pastor. They're doing the pastor stuff. The great majority of them want to actually be called pastor and be ordained. So let's make them pastors. What good reason is there not to make pastors, guys who are functions pastors, actual pastors with all the rights, privileges, benefits of ordination? What good reason is there? Is there any?
With about 30 seconds here, should we take actions to close the book on licensed lay deacons and say we're not going to do that anymore? We're going to do this the right way.
Yes, we need to do it the right way. There are two issues basically. Do we have the flexibility to take care of mission starts and small places and out of the way places? A, yes, we do. Absolutely. B, are we going to be faithful to our confession? Yes. I've been told all my career that you really can't be faithful to the line of the Bible and the Lutheran confessions and get this done. I reject that. We must do it. Not only can, but we will, and we have to. That's the way of fidelity for the future.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We'll have him for about another 10 minutes on the other side of the break. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author and translator and editor of numerous books, including The Church and the Office of the Ministry by C.F.W. Walther. You heard him mention a video that was made with reference to the Licensed Lay Deacon program. You will find that video, and it's called A Path Forward for the LCMS, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Be sure to share this video with anybody who will be a delegate at this summer's Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention. We're talking about who should preach and administer the sacraments in the church. Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. When we come back, we're going to talk about the relationship between pastors and lay people. Stay tuned.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, Redeemer Lutheran, Caca Becca Falls, Ontario, Canada, St. Jacobi Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're talking about who should preach and administer the sacraments in the church. Before the break, you talked about this a little bit, and I want to go into a little more detail. And that is, it's often, and I think this is just maybe just part of our fundamental misunderstanding of how the church is comprised. We think of it always in terms of authority or power. But there's often an alleged antagonism between the office of the ministry and the priesthood of all believers, between the pastor and the layperson. What would you offer us by way of pastoral thoughts on that?
Yes, no doubt about it. And it's largely because, you know, we're sinners. And we also have different interests and expertise. You know, some pastors are great administrators. Some pastors are great administrative leaders. Other guys are great at preaching and great at teaching the Word of God and have little interest in financial matters and those kind of things. So basically, to find the right balance in the parish is not always easy. A pastor needs to find the right place of leadership that fits his skills and also recognizes the glorious skills of laity. I think in my ministry, to this day, I've got all these guys around me who are experts at this or that area of life or work of the church, financial experts. You know, I can get through a balance sheet, but these guys are trained. They know all the ins and outs. They're fantastic. Take a guy like Rich Robertson at Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Man, this guy knows finances. He knows big finance. He knows how to finance things. He knows how to think about things. He knows how to put a business plan together. And when you're doing stuff as a nonprofit, you got to have experts who know their stuff. So if a pastor acts like he knows all that stuff or won't let other people shine at their gifts, their holy calling, that's bad news. That's bad news. A pastor is fundamentally a pastor. So I often tell this story. Years ago, we studied in Australia. My wife and I were there studying at the Lutheran Seminary. We went on a little vacation to a sheep operation, and this guy takes us out on his utility truck. And as we go into the paddock, as they call this big field, fenced field, it's huge. We're looking across the way, and there's thousands of sheep. I mean, it looked like a big fluffy cloud just starting to roll over a green hill. And they started to run away from us, bleating. And all of a sudden, Graham just started going like this. Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob. Just like that. Hey, Bob. Within 2 minutes, that truck was pressed in on every side by 2,000 sheep bleating. It was like you could have stepped out on cotton and walked in any direction. Now, he who hears my voice and holds to my word, I will make him free, Jesus says in John chapter 8. The shepherd is to speak the word of God to comfort and console the sheep. He's an under shepherd. He speaks Christ's word. So the sheep recognize that. He's to poke the shepherd has to poke the wolf in the nose too with that staff. But a shepherd is to speak Christ's word. He's not to coerce people to stuff he wants that isn't in the Bible. His authority extends only as far as the Bible. Beyond that, as Walther says, he should be the most accommodating man in the world. And a lot of guys get in trouble when they think pastoral authority is not being respected. It may be the case. It certainly happens, you know. People, we're all sinners. But the best way for a pastor to exercise authority is to lead his people in repentance. Well, how did Jesus exercise his authority? He laid it down in service for the flock. He suffers himself to be crucified, and he serves. The pastor goes behind Christ. sacrifices self, and he serves and loves others. That is the key. Tough business, to be sure. None of us are Jesus, but that's the key.
It's not as though we don't have abundant resources as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have struggled with this very question from our inception. You've been a student of CFW Walther for your entire ministry, and he's a man who had to get in there and kind of bushwhack this territory theologically at the beginning of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the relationship between the church and the ministry that Christ has given. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, the history of the Missouri Synod, this is, we joke, oh, we're still talking about the issue of the ministry, surprise, surprise. It was the issue that gave birth to the Missouri Synod. Martin Stephan was this great Lutheran preacher. He studied under J.G. Scheibel in Breslau. A lot of people don't realize that. Scheibel was one of the great revivalists of genuine Lutheranism around the turn of the 19th century. And Stephan pulls these people around him. He's giving advice to folks about law and gospel. He's pulling them out of this pietistic rut that looks inside itself all the time to try to figure out how religious the self is and how converted and whether you're converted enough to be a Christian. It's just a soup of subjective nonsense. And he points people to Christ, and he gathers people around him. They become kind of a weird little sect, convinced that they're a pod of Lutheranism, and they're going to take it from the dying Christian world in Europe and plant it in America. They get kind of stranger as they go. Stephan's philandering becomes evident, and all of a sudden he had declared himself bishop with full power over temporal matters and spiritual matters before the boat landed in St. Louis, and then they're thrown into absolute despair, depression, confusion. And it's out of that Walther, studying the New Testament and Luther's works, becomes convinced that, in fact, wherever two or three gather, there am I in the midst of them, and that the keys are something that belong to the church. They're not given simply to a bishop. They belong to Christians as spiritual priests, and those Christians have the right, responsibility, and authority to call somebody to occupy the office of pastor. So, and that issue we've struggled with in many different ways over the years. We struggle with it constantly. We had one of our great founders in the Missouri Synod was Wilhelm Leah, and Leah differed from Walther in numerous points, but especially Leah believed that the office was conferred pastor to pastor through ordination. He also didn't believe the congregation had the right to call. He believed that basically an episcopal system where the bishop appoints is the route to go. And so he openly, at least a bit later in the 50s, he openly disagreed with the Lutheran confessions. And that meant exacerbated a split with Walther. So, yeah, we've always struggled with it.
What does it look like from your vantage point on the other side of this, where you mentioned before, we now have numerous alternate paths toward the pastoral office that are intended to accommodate all different kinds of circumstances mm-hmm. that men find themselves in who truly desire mm-hmm. To preach the word and administer the sacraments. If we can clean up the mess of the licensed lay deacon program, I'm not talking about the deacons, but I'm talking about the system under which they're still laboring. And I take it, make pastors of these men by a proper ordination. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
What does it look like on the other side? We have a lot of challenges for the future in training future pastors, don't we?
We do indeed. And we're working on them, many of them, in different ways. We've been taking a very hard look at student indebtedness, and I think there's some light at the end of that tunnel. We especially are concerned about the numbers, but I think we're going to be okay. We need 500, used to say 500 or 600 vacancies just to keep pastors moving. We've been down as low as 200 vacancies in the last couple of years, and so the number is now up over 400 vacancies, which is actually a good thing. So there's going to be a need for future pastors. We've got some bright spots. Concordia University of Wisconsin has over 70 students studying in their pre-sem program. 70 at Concordia. Wow, are they doing it right? God bless you, Pat Ferry, and all those guys up there. We have the evangelism challenge, and that's before us. You know, we're just rolling out this summer this Everyone His Witness effort. We're calling it a program, a good old-fashioned program with all these different modules to teach. I hope you have Mark Wood on sometime to talk about it. Teaching people to evangelize Mormons, to evangelize the D-Church, the non-church, the millennials, the et cetera, et cetera. And he's got a great method. I look at it like I did with Glenn Merritt and the Disaster Network. We hired Glenn Merritt in the old World Relief days and said, hey, Glenn, put together a network. And, you know, he just did it. Several years ago, we had already reached 10,000 LCMS lay people and pastors trained in Lutheran early response to disasters. What? We have the premier disaster network in American Christianity, really. I think we can do the same thing on the evangelism front, frankly. And we have to do that. We need to respect and support lay people in their vocations, give them more opportunities. We want more lay people trained, not fewer lay people trained, in evangelism, in church planting. There's a myriad of things that can be done as we reach out and work at our challenging circumstances in the church. So that's what I see.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's translator, author, and editor of numerous books, including The Church and the Office of the Ministry by C.F.W. Walther. You will find a link to and you can purchase that book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You can also call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Matt, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so much, Todd. I appreciate what you do, and you're a real blessing. God bless you always.
Thank you. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll get our weekly update on the November elections with journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway. We're in the general, so to speak, even though we haven't even reached the conventions. It's already pretty much decided who will be facing whom. We'll be talking about that with them tomorrow. We'll also have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. So long from the Gottesdienst Conference at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, and thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Here's what Kitty in Lawrenceville, Georgia, had to say about last summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
I wanted to let you know that my favorite part of this year's conference was being part of the live show of Issues Etc. I will always remember just clapping and being a part of that show.
You can find out more about the 2016 Making the Case conference Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th in Collinsville, Illinois at issuesetc.org.